Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Thursday class at the Young Ezra of Woodmere. So just a calendar reminder, next week is the legal holiday of Thanksgiving, so I am not presenting Shir next Thursday. The Young Israel, in conjunction with Yeshiva University, has special programming every year on Thanksgiving. They have that, so I'm sure the Young Israel will be sending out an email. And don't come for my Shir, but you could, of course, come to join the special Yeshiva University Young Israel of Woodmere Thanksgiving Day of Learning next Thursday. So that means my Shir after today meets, Lazrat Hashem, December the 1st. Okay, we have Shir today and then in December 1st. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. So this week is Parshas Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah. And in Parshas Chayei Sarah, Sarah Imenu dies and Avram Avinu also dies. So just the overview quickly is Parak Chof Gimel, which we're going to be looking at, so I'm not even going to give you the overview. Parak Chof Dalid, which is the first shidduch in the Torah, the servant, the trusty servant, is sent to find a shidduch for Yitzchak, and ultimately he brings back the maiden, and Yitzchak marries Rivka, and he brings her to the tent. She is his mother, and he loves her, and he marries her, not in that order. Actually, he marries her, and he loves her, and he's comforted after his mother. And then in Parak Chof Hey, Avrami marries Keturah. Keturah is Hagar. He has more children with her and more sons. He sends those sons away. And when he dies at the age of 175, Yitzchak and Yishmael bury him in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And at the very end of the Seder, we are told about Yishmael's death. So we are going to be talking today about lessons from Sarah Imenu. So we will just go quickly through the pshat of Parak Chof Gimel. I shouldn't say that. I don't know how quick it's going to be. I hope it's not going to be too long. Page 106 in these Chumashim, just for ease. Okay, Parak Chof Gimel Abereshis, let us look. It's not a particularly long parsha, especially after the previous parshios. The sedges were really long. This is much shorter. And let us look, even though Parak Chof Dal is a very long parak, but still there is much less detail and events than there was in Lech Lecha and in Vayera. So Parak Chof Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Vayu Chayei Sarah Mea Shana Ve'eshim Shana Ve'sheva Shanim. So Sarah, the years of her life were 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. And these are the years of the life of Sarah. Tzadikim alpa misasim nikra'im chayim. Even though she died, it is not called Vatamat Sarah. The sedra is not called Mace Sarah or Misa Sarah. It's called Chayei Sarah because the righteous live on in their deeds after their death. Vatamat Sarah b'Kiryat Arba hi Chevron. And Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Chevron in the land of Canaan. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? So Rashi tells us because of the four couples, the city of four, the four couples who are buried there, Adam and Isha, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. Where am I up to? Yeah, and Avram came to give a hesped for Sarah to cry for her. And Avram got up from before the face of his dead, and he speaks to the B'nai Chay, saying, I am a stranger and a resident amongst you. Please give me a burial portion with you, so I will bury my dead before me. And the B'nai Chay answer Avram, and they say to him, listen, my master, you are a prince of God amongst us. In the choices of our burial place, portions, you shall bury your dead. No one will hold back his burial portion from you. We hold you in the highest esteem. Take whatever land you want. Pasuk Zayin. So Avram gets up and he bows down to the people of the land, to the B'nai Ches, and he speaks to them, saying, and you know, if it is with your soul to bury my dead from before me, please listen and intercede on my behalf to Ephraim ben Sochar. And I specifically want the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the cave of the Machpelah, the cave that is doubled, that is his, that is at the edge of his field. I will pay for it with full money amongst you for a burial portion. And Ephraim was sitting amongst the B'nai Ches. I'm in Pasuk Yod. I'm just paraphrasing. I told you, we're just going to have an overview. We're going to go through the parak. And Ephron is sitting amongst the B'nai Ches, and Ephron the Chiti says to Avram, in the ears of the B'nai Ches, everyone who sees, in the biblical times, the city gates were very, very important. If you've ever gone to excavations and they show you the city gates with my tour guide that I've mentioned many times, Ezra Rosenfeld, we did the same day we did Har Herzl, we did on a burial site that's literally off the beaten track, that's not open to the public, called Kerbet Kayafa. It was just mind-blowing. So the city gates is where all the prominent people sat. Lot was sitting in the city gates. So here Ephron is sitting, and the negotiation will happen by the city gates. Boaz makes the negotiations with Ploni Almoni to marry Rus by the city gates. Okay, you see how short the parak is, okay? So Avram says, no, my master, listen, the field I give you, but I just want the ma'arah. I don't want the whole field. I just want the ma'arah to bury my wife before the eyes of the people of my nation. I've given it to you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Vayan Ephron, I'm saying the whole thing wrong. Vayan Ephron. Ephron answers Avram. Ephron answers Avram before all the people were in the gates. Lamor. Ephron is speaking to Avram. Pasuk get off. Lo Adoni, no, my master. Shema Eini, listen. Hasodeno Satilach. I am giving you, Avram, the field. Vahamarash Erbo, and the cave that is in it. Lachan Esati. I am giving it to you before the eyes of my entire nation. I give it to you. You could bury your dead. So Ephron says, no, I give it up. It's yours. So Avram bows down to the ground before the people of the earth, and he says to Ephron, and before the ears of everybody, saying, you know, I don't know, I think I really want to pay for this. So Ephron says to Avram, okay, listen, my master, how much is it worth? Avram meo shekel kesef beinu veinecha mahi. What's 400 silver shekel between friends? First he said, I'm going to give it to you for free, and then he obviously had a quick change of heart, and he realized he has a big opportunity here to make a lot of money, and he says, Avram meo shekel kesef. What is that? Bury your dead. Pasuk Tezayin. And Avram heard Ephron, meaning he read between the lines. The offer for free wasn't an offer at all. And Avram listened to Ephron, and he weighs out the money that he wants, and everybody sees it's over the socher, it's the common currency. By Yaakum stay Ephron asher b'machpelah shevnei mamre. And the field had an ascension. What does it mean, the field had an ascension? It's not a person. How could it say, by Yaakum stay Ephron? The field got up. The field didn't get up like you're going to get up after shear. What does that mean? So Rashi says it went from the hands of a commoner to the hands of a king. It went from the hands of Ephron to the hands of Avram, so it had an aliyah, if you will, okay? And the mara that is in it, and all the trees in the fields, and all the border all around, and Avram bought it before the eyes of the B'nai Ches, by everyone who was in the Shar ear. And after that, cover Avram and Sarah Ishto. Avram buried Sarah, his wife, and in Pasuk Gittes, El Ma'arat Steer Machpela, Al Pnei Mamre, Hi Chavan Be'eretz Kanan. So the field had this ascension and the cave that is in it for Avram, and it is a burial portion from the sons of Chay. So the last in detail thing we know about Avram is this burial of Sarah. Because after this Perach of Dal, which is the first Shidduch, Avram doesn't really play a part in it. In the beginning, he makes his servant take an oath and he instructs him where to go. And after that, it's not about Avram at all. Okay, when Sarah dies, if she's 127, he's 137. He doesn't die till the age of 175. But the truth is that we know very little about him after this narrative. This is really the last final act. Yes, he sends the servant, but even when the Shidduch comes home, we don't see any indication of any exchange with Avram. It's between a servant, and which the Chazal says Eliezer, and Yitzchak, and Rivka. The only thing we're told almost anecdotally is that after this, he marries Keturah, he has more children, and then he dies. So this is the last thing we really know about Avram Avinu, that he went out of his way, he went to great lengths to make sure he had a proper burial place to bury his wife, who was his Ezra Kenegdo, am I saying that right? His Ezra Kenegdo through all the trials and tribulations of his wife. I want to talk really about motherhood. I want to talk about motherhood based on the life of Sarah Imenu. So it sounds a little crazy, but I'm going to start with the following. How do you say mother in different languages? Though this took me a long time. This part of the show actually took me a long time. While I was doing it, I was like, why am I doing this? But I was doing it because once I start something, I like to finish it. So listen, how do you say, is this true? Yiddish, how do you say mother in Yiddish? What? No, mater? Is mater a word? Mater? Yes or no? 1 second. Yeah, German is mater, correct. All right. Welsh, mom, M-A-M. Vietnamese, M-E. Urdu, A-M-M-E-E, Ami. Ukrainian, Mati. So far we have Mam, Mi, Ami, Mati. Swedish, Morsa, Mor, Mama. Swahili, Mza, Mzazi, or Mama. Spanish, I know what I was doing, so what am I doing? But I'm doing this. Spanish, Mami, Mama, or Madre. Slovak, Mama, Matka. Serbian, Majka. Russian, Mama. Romanian, Mama, Maicha. Punjabi, Mai, Mataji, or Pabo. That's what you would say me to call. Polish, matka mama. Persian, madrer maman. Norwegian, mor mama. What do you notice? Ah. Lithuanian, matina. Latvian, mama. Latin, mater. Italian, madre and mama. Irish, mater. Icelandic, mama. Hindi, maji or ma. Hawaiian, makuhaini. I'm probably saying them wrong, but I mean, I could just show you the list. Haitian Creole, manman. Greek, mana or mitera. German, mater. French, maman or mir. Estonian, emma. Dutch, mor or morder. Danish, mor. Czech, maminka. Croatian, majko or mati. Catalan, mer. Bulgarian, majka. Brazilian, mei. Bosnian, majka. Belarusian, matka. Arabic, am. Afrikaans, molder or ma. English, mom, mommy, mommy, ma, mother, and finally, Ivrit, or I should say, Lashon HaKodesh, Kabed et Avicha, the et Imecha. What you notice, and it wasn't as fast as I read it, because it was a much lengthier article, so first I had to copy and paste, and then change the font size, and then change the sizing, and then take out all the extra words, because I only wanted the language and the word for mother. So this part of the shiur actually took a long time. And I went to sleep very, 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 very late last night, and I slept very, very little. And I thought, why am I doing this? But I wanted to do it because it's extremely interesting. Because that's almost 50 languages, or I don't remember how many. Yeah, I think close to 50. What is a common theme? There's one sound that runs through all of these words for mother. So, of course, Lashon HaKodesh preceded all languages. When Isha was created, And Rashi says there, why is she called Isha? Because she's taken from Ish. So Rashi says, Lashon nofel al Lashon. If you notice, Ish and Isha sound pretty familiar. Rashi says it's a language that falls upon the language. To teach you, says Rashi, that the world, Shanivra ha'olam b'Lashon HaKodesh. So the blueprint for the world was, how did Hashem know, so to speak, excuse me, how to create the world? You looked in the instruction book, so to speak. What's the instruction book? Lashon HaKodesh. He looked in the Torah, which is made up of all letters of Lashon HaKodesh, and from Lashon HaKodesh he created the world. So Ima, Kabed, it's biblical. Kabed et Avicha ve'et Imecha, the fifth commandment, Yisroel ve'eschanan. L'man ya'arichun yamecha al adama. Aleph Mem. Aleph or Aleph Mem comes from Ivri. No, I'm saying it wrong. Comes from Lashon HaKodesh. And apparently all these languages are derived from the original language with which the world was created. Are there more in English? There's mommy, mommy, ma, mother, mom. Am I forgetting any of them? Oma, is it one Oma? Oma might be grandmother in one language. So, okay, so it's also with an M. Okay. The common theme is striking in almost every language. And I mean, there are hundreds of languages in the world. So I did not go through hundreds of languages. But it's a really nice overview, and I'm not going to read it to you again. But how the M sound, or the Mem sound, better to say, is a running theme in the word for mother. It is striking that in almost every language, the word for mother contains some Mem sound. Kabed et avichav et imecha. This was started in the Torah, not in ancient Greece, or in Rome, or in Italian, or in Aramaic. It comes from the very beginning. What is unique about the Mem? What is unique about the Mem? The Mem, the Rapshitzer Rebbe points out, I thank my son Aryeh for telling this to me many years ago, and it's something I always remember. The letter Mem in Lashon HaKodesh, listen, is the only letter of the Aleph Beis that begins with your lips closed. Then you have to open them and then close them. Aleph, no. Beis, no. Gimel, no. Dalet, no. Hey, do it. Feel your lips. Vav. Zion, Ches, Tes, Yod, Chof. How do you make a Mem? My mouth is closed. Mm. So only letter in Lashon HaKodesh, the Rapshitzer Rebbe points out, my son Aryeh told this to me a number of years ago, that, I'll tell you what the Rapshitzer Rebbe says on it, It's the only letter in the Lashana Kodesh that you start with your mouth closed. I can't do it while I'm talking, but you could do it. Mem. Open, close. So what's the pshat? So the Rav Shitzur Rebbe points out, it's my husband's ninth, or my husband, my sons are Benach or Ben. My husband's eight, I think, and my boys, I think, are nine. Shchusa Yagin Elinu. My husband's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Shas Mishnayos, Torah Shabbal Peh, begins with a mem. May Emasai Korim Esa Shema, Maseches Brachos. And it ends with a mem. Uktin 3:12, Hashem Yivarchus Amo Bashalom. Shas, which is Shisha Sidre Mishnah, Torah Shabbal Peh, begins with a mem. And it ends with a mem. So the Rav Shitzur Rebbe says, this teaches you, your mouth should always be closed. You should only open it to speak words of Torah. Because what's between the two mems, words of Torah, and then you should close it. It's something powerful to keep in mind. I think my son saw it in the Sefer of the Rav Shitzur Rebbe, I'm not sure. Okay. So I thought that this was extremely interesting, that in so many languages, the word for mother has this mem sound. So I was discussing with a friend who I see is on this chat, Rochi Fried, and I said, what's the significance of the fact that so many languages, I can't say I didn't explore all hundreds of languages in the world, but a great portion of languages have a mem sound. So Rachi said she once learned something from, I think, a professor. Rachi, you could type on the chat who taught this to you. I was very taken by this. When a baby nurses, his mouth is closed, unless he's screaming because he's waiting to nurse, but fine. Let's pretend his mouth is closed because he has so much patience when he's 4 weeks old. Then he opens his mouth to feed from his mother, and then when he's done, he closes his mouth. It's a process whereby the mouth is closed, and it's open to what we call latch on to the mother. He feeds, he takes nourishment, not only nourishment, love, a caress, a warmth, a snuggle, milk, and then he's done, and he closes his mouth. The process of nursing from the mother is represented in the mem letter and the mem sound. The mouth is closed. The baby opens the mouth to nurse from the mother, the ima, and then he moves his mouth. And like Rachi said, and it's true, maybe not when they're a newborn, but as they get older, they like hum. They're like in heaven when they're nursing. There's a sound that they make when they're nursing besides for the actual suckling. And it's related to this M sound. The mother, who is the source of the nourishment for the child, provides the child, LaHashem provides for the child, everything the child needs through the mother's milk. The process of nursing begins with the mouth closed, let's pretend the baby's not crying, then latches on open, suckles and drinks, and then the mouth closed. And while they're nursing, and the mother is giving the baby life, she gave the baby life when it was growing in her womb, and I know Hashem is giving life, okay? The hishtadlus of the shaliach in this world is giving life to the baby through her milk that God specially, I had preemies. They were 2 months premature, 30 weekers. And one of the things I learned then, which I thought was fascinating, Hashem makes everything so incredible. Mother's milk for preemie babies is like 5 times higher in fat than mother's milk for full-term babies. It's just amazing. And they're almost 17, but I remember learning that at the time. It's so incredible. It's not the same milk as a full-term baby, because that baby shouldn't have been born yet. They need more nourishment, more fat, more calories than a full-term baby. So the mother's milk of a preemie baby is higher in fat and whatever else exactly the baby needs. It's just amazing. And that's all represented in the mem letter, in the mem sound, which becomes the name Ima, from Ima, which is biblical, aim. All of these languages derive the word from mother. 1 second, Rachi. Her linguistics professor in Queens College, Rachi, must have been decades ago, no? Her linguistics professor in Queens College taught this idea about the baby and nursing. And we can really relate it to Lashon HaKodesh, because the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh. It just shows you how incredible every letter in Hashem's holy tongue is. It's just amazing. I just thought that was incredible. By Joseph Bisa, thank you, Rachi. She says decades, capital letters. Decades, capital letters. Okay? Rachi and I are good friends, but not the same age bracket. So So this is going back a long time ago, and it's stuck in her head. Now, she didn't tell me to so long ago. I think it was just last week, but I just found it to be very profound and very impactful. It really describes accurately the nursing process, and it relates so beautifully to this idea. Rachi didn't talk about the mem. Did he speak about the mem? That I don't, or maybe just the m. I just think it's amazing. My Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, says, "We know from daily experience," says the Rav, "that the father loves to stand beside the baby's cradle and rock it when the baby is clean. If the baby dirties his diaper, the father will often call immediately to the baby's mother to come clean the baby while he stands aside. The mother, on the other hand, is constantly ready to clean the baby and do all the necessary unpleasant tasks." And the Rav sees a parallel here with the mother Shechina and us. So too in the spiritual world, says the Rav. The Creator, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Shechina, which is the feminine, so to speak, manifestation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, relates to us as the mother relates to her child. He hears the cries resulting from man's spiritual crisis. Now we're talking about the Shechina mother. Hears the cries resulting from man's spiritual crisis. Just like the mother hears the cries of the baby in his distress, the Shechina mother hears the cries when we are in distress and immediately appears to offer help. At that moment, when he comes to offer help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make an accounting of previous sins that man may have done. When the mother comes to help the baby, where did I read it recently? I told it over recently in a different shiur. Let's say, I don't know, the kid broke curfew, a younger child, right? I don't know, whatever, they're supposed to be in bed. You told them go to bed, it's the summer, they want to be out. They're biking in the, I don't know, in the bungalow colony, and you told them to go to sleep, and they didn't listen, and now they fall off their bike, and it appears they broke their leg. What mother isn't going to go running? Are you going to say, I told you to go to bed, now you broke your leg, it's your problem? What's a mother going to do? Right away, she's going to go call the Hatzalah and get the polysporin if it's not broken and do whatever is necessary. After, she might tell him, listen, we have to work on bedtime. But in the moment of distress, the mother goes to help the child without taking an accounting of what the child's sins are. Says Rav Salvechik, this is true vis-a-vis us and the Shechina, who is our mother. It's interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you pay attention in the tefillah, Hashem is our melech. I mean, Kal Melech Ne'eman, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchusa, Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melechom. I mean, every single time you make a bracha, you refer to Hashem as Melech. Pay attention in the Aleinu, how much of Aleinu is about the Malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's interesting that Hashem is our Melech, and Melech, of course, I mean, it's pretty obvious where I'm going with this. Melech, of course, interesting, Memlecha, or Memlach. Hashem is the mem to you. Hashem is the mother figure, the melech, but he is also the Shechina, represents the aim. The mem represents the mother figure. Mem lacha, or mem lach, you have to see Kodesh Baruch Hu as the king unto you, but also as the mother figure unto you. And that, says Rav Salvechik, is true of the Shechina vis-a-vis Knesset Israel. In the moment of man's spiritual distress, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not say, oh, well, you got yourself into trouble, I'm not coming to help you. When man finds himself in overwhelming distress, the Shechina mother, he hyphenates it, Shechina mother doubles and strengthens her efforts. The Shechina is present in the moment when man is in distress, when man is suffering from spiritual crisis. There, the Shechina mother is right there with him. Like the Pasuk says, in Vayikra HaShochein Itam B'toch Tumasam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with us from the midst of our impurity. Just like the mother whose kid fell off the bike in the bungalow colony. She's not going to sit drinking her coffee while her kid is crying in the lawn. Okay, you told him not to do it. Fine, he did it. Now he got her. What are you going to do? You're going to leave him there? What mother? What Jewish mother? And we're going to go to the Chumash in a few minutes. What Jewish mother would do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes impure, as it were, from the iniquity of the Bnei Yisrael, just like the mother will become impure from the dirty diaper, so to speak, dirty, right? When you're changing a baby's dirty diaper, if it's not, you know, managed to go all over, the mother might often get dirty as well when she's changing it. Does she say, I'm not going to change your diaper, I don't want to get dirty? Someone else might say that, but the mother doesn't say that. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. When man sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the aim, the Shekhinah figure, I just think it's so interesting. I didn't think of it while I was preparing, but Melech, I mean, pay attention in your davening and in your brachos. We are constantly referring to Hashem as the Melech, not only on Rosh Hashanah. Pay attention to regular, everyday davening. Hashem is the Melech over and over and over again. Mem Lach, or Mem Lacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes impure, as it were, from the iniquities of the Bnei Yisrael. Sin is contaminating. Sin is tumah. Spiritually contaminating. Just like a dirty diaper is physically dirty, sin is spiritually dirty. But just like the mother is willing, and not only willing, she wants to clean the baby. She, with love, cleans the baby. She wants the baby to be clean again, even if it means she is going to get soiled, which is very possible. That's why we have washing machines. And even if there weren't, she would still want to do it. So too the Shekhinah mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will become contaminated from the sin of his children, but he will not abandon his children. Quote, the Shekhinah never departs completely from any Jew. No matter how far he has gone or how deep he has immersed himself in sin. No matter how dirty the diaper is, the mother's going to change the baby. No matter how many times the baby throws up after that beautiful nursing experience. Someone else is going to say, you know, the mother will say, well, he's going to spit up. He just nursed. You want to hold him? And you're like, ah, I don't know. Maybe I'll try in half an hour. You could have him now. She's never going to say, I don't want the baby. He's going to spit up on her skirt and her sweater. That was just, doesn't matter. The Shekhinah, which is the Shekhinah mother, never departs completely from any Jew. No matter how far he has gone or how deeply he has immersed himself in sin, God is there before man sins and God is there after man sins. Just like the mother is there before the baby soils himself and she is there after the baby soils himself, so too the Shekhinah. He remains hidden, the Ribono Shel Olam, in the inner recesses of the heart of even the worst evildoer. Until the moment arrives when that person remembers his maker, renounces his ways, and repents. Because the Shekhinah never abandons any Jew, just like a mother never abandons her child. I want to turn to something very, very interesting in last week's Sedra, actually. Parachof Aleph. Pasuk Aleph. If you want to turn, fine. If you just want to listen, that's fine too. Page 94 in this Chumash. Chof Aleph Aleph. Chof Aleph Aleph. Vashem pakad es Sarah, kasher Omar. Hashem remembered Sarah like he said, and Hashem did for Sarah what he spoke, and she conceived and she gave birth. Sarah gave birth to Avram, a son in his old age, at the appointed time that Hashem spoke, and Avram called the name of a son that was born to him, that Sarah gave birth, Yitzchak. By the way, this isn't a surprise. In Perek Yud Zayin, when Hashem tells him, your wife Sarah will have a child, Hashem says, you will call his name Yitzchak. We said it at the time. I think we said it at the time. Yod Rashi says there is the Asar Nisyonos. Tzadi is the age of Sarah when the baby is born. Ches is the days of Bris Milah. And Kuf is the age of Avram when the baby is born. That's Rashi in Perek Yud Zayin when Hashem says his name will be Yitzchak. Vayamal Avram is Yitzchak. But no, Avram did a Bris Milah for a son at the eight day. At the age of 8 days, like Elohim commanded him. And Avram was 100 years old when this son Yitzchak was born. And Sarah said, Tzchok asali Elohim kol shamei yitzachakli. God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will rejoice for me. And Rashi says that there were many miracles at that time. Many akaros, many infertile barren women gave birth with her. Many sick people were healed. Harbe tzchok, harbe simcha haya ba'olam. There was a lot of joy in the world when Sarah was redeemed. Many others were also redeemed from their troubles. Vatomen, she said, Mi milel Avram, who said to Avram, he nika banim Sarah. Sarah would nurse sons. Milel, Rashi points out, is gematria of 100. Is that right? 40, 30? Yeah. Well, if Rashi points it out, it's right, but while I'm saying it, Milel's gematria, 100, Rashi says, because Avram was 100 when the baby is born, I gave birth in his old age. Vayigdal hal yalad vayigamal. The child grows up and he is weaned. It's just interesting that the first, it's a whole other shir, which I've spoken about in the past, but I'm just pointing it out, some food for thought. The first thing you really know about Yitzchak is Vayigamal. And when the Shidduch is found, Rivka, it's a perfect match made in heaven, because if you look in Perech of Dalah, the whole story is about the Gmalim. It's almost more about the Gmalim than about Rivka, even when he sees her coming. Yitzchak Vasuach 24:63. Yitzchak Vasuach Basada Lifnot Erev. Vayisa Eina Vayar Vihine. Doesn't say Vihine, the beauty of the year is coming. It doesn't say Makalamedo is coming. It says Vihine Gmalim. So interesting. The first thing you know about Yitzchak is Vayigamal. The Shidduch depends upon the Gmalim. That is not an accident. Avram made a big party on the day he Gomel as Yitzchak. And now we have Sarah, who is not a mother till the age of 90, becoming that fierce, protective mother figure. Vatevi Sarah es ben Hagar Mitzus asher yadal Avram Mitzachik. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Mitzris that was born to Avram, Mitzachik. Rashi says, what's Mitzachik? Lashon Avodas Kochavim, like by Chet Ha'ega, Avodah Zarah. Another thing, it's Gilia Arayos. And another thing, Ritzicha. So this Yishmael is not such a good guy. He's doing Avodas Kochavim, he's doing Gilia Arayos and Ritzicha, which is murder. Atomer la'Avram, and what does Sarah, the protective mother, the aim be Israel, say? Garesh ha'ama hazov epina, send away this maidservant and her son, ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazor im bini im Yitzchak, because that woman's son is not going to inherit from you along with my son Yitzchak. Now Avram, who is Avram Avinu, doesn't understand the desire, the wish, the command of the mother. And the matter was very bad in the eyes of Avram over the news of his son. I'm not talking about Rashi right now, just the pshat. Avram was a Baal Chesed, and he doesn't want to send away his son. And Elohim said to Avram, do not let it be bad in your eyes over the lad and over the maidservant. I'm telling you, whatever Sarah, the mother, says, listen to her voice. Through Yitzhak you will have progeny. And Rashi says, Shema Bekola. Bekol ruach hakodesh sheba. She had ruach hakodesh. Lamanu shahaya Avram tafel l'sar b'nevius. Sarah had ruach hakodesh, and we learn that Avram was inferior to Sarah in prophecy. Well, this is the aim of Israel, and Hashem says you should listen to her because she has a greater degree of prophecy than you. So, what was her command? Send away the danger to my son. And Hashem says, but the son of the maidservant, I'll also make him into a nation. He is your seed. And Avram woke up early in the morning, takes bread and a flask of water, gives it to Hagar, he sends him away. The water finishes from the flask. She sends the child, Hagar, throws the child away under one of the bushes. And she went. She's not sitting next to the child. She sits at a distance. Harcheik, what distance? Ki mechatove keshas, like the bow, like the arrow shot. Ki amra, she says, al era b'mod hayalad. I don't want to get myself dirty with the problems of my son. I don't want to be contaminated, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, physically. And she sits at a distance, and she lifts her voice, and she cries, and she cries. Hashem does not hear her voice. Hashem hears the voice of the lad. But look at the difference between Sarah and Hagar. Sarah does everything she needs to do to defend and protect her child. And Hagar throws away her child. Says Rav Soloveitchik, this is a different piece. The first piece was from Chumash Masoras HaRav Vayikra. This next piece is from the book called Family Redeemed, which I actually have right here. In contradistinction to the father, says the Rav, the mother holds on to her child, refusing to let go. Her desire is to always be part of him. The mother can never perform an act of withdrawal. Just like the Shechina mother, Mem Lacha, can never perform an act of withdrawal. She can never perform an act of withdrawal. On the contrary, the mother surges steadily forward to her child. For the mother, no matter how old or how independent the child is, the image of the baby, the memory of an infant held in her arms, the picture of herself playing, laughing, embracing, nursing, cleaning, never vanishes from her mind. She always looks upon her child as upon a baby who needs her help and her company, and whom she has to protect, and who she has to shield. Interesting. Also, Magen is also begins with a mem. Hashem is the shield, Magen Yishenu. As a matter of fact, says the Rav, so we see that Sarah, at this point, was fiercely protective of her child. And when she saw his half-brother behaving in very dangerous ways, and Rashi goes on to say, also contesting the Yerusha, Yishmael said, I am the eldest, I am going to inherit everything. And he was involved, like we saw in Rashi, in Gilead Arise, Shavod Azar, and Ritzicha. He would shoot arrows at Yitzchak. So the mother, the first aim of Israel, rose up like a lioness. And she says, send this child away. And that is not cruelty. So she arose to send the child away. Now she didn't say lahargo, but she said, send him away. Contrast that to Hagar. What did Hagar do to her child? She threw him under the bushes. She sat a distance of a keshes away, a bow away. You know, the distance, however, it is to shoot an arrow. I never shot a bow and arrow. Probably I did once in my life, but... And she said, I don't want to see the death of the child. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, continuing family redeemed. As a matter of fact, the mother can never forget the biological fact that her child was once a part of her, that she gave him her blood. She brought him into this world with suffering and pain. When she says, my baby, I'm quoting the Rabbi, this is so interesting because this is from a man who is saying this, writing this, teaching this, but it is very profound. When she says, my baby, she means to say, once we were one body, I gave you life. Together we were joined in the same organic process. Neither can she ever dismiss from her mind the sleepless nights in which she watched in anguish over a sick, feverish child. Compare that to Hagar. Hagar's child was sick and feverish. There was no water. There was an emergency situation. No one is denying that the child was not thirsty. What did she do? She sat from a distance. She did not want any part in this experience of her child. For the mother, she can never dismiss from her mind the sleepless nights during which she watched in anguish over a sick, feverish child. She remembers all her prayers and all her vows because of him. We can distinguish here between Sarah, the covenantal mother. This is based on teachings of the Rav. He talks about the covenantal mother, in other words, from the covenant. The covenantal mother and the demonic mother. The covenantal mother of attachment who never abandons the child, and the demonic mother who does abandon the child. And obviously the Ein Bi Yisrael is the former and not the latter. And let us remember that Ima, Aim, preceded all other languages and in fact preceded the world. Even when you think of a mem, it's a full circle. It's just very interesting because it's that shape of the nursing baby's mouth closed around his mother. In our parsha, the pasuk tells us about Sarah's death. I'm going back to Chaf Gimel. It's page 106. Chaf Gimel, Aleph through Beis. Okay, when the years of the life of Sarah that she lived, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, these are the years of the life of Sarah. But Thomas Sarah and Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Avram came to give a hesped for Sarah and to cry for her. Rashi says, here we go, Lispol the Sarvath of Kosa. Rashi to Pasuk Beis in our Sedra. The Nismecha Misa Sarah la Kedas Yitzchak. Why is the narrative of Misa Sarah, Perachov Gimel, put after the narrative of the Akedas Yitzchak, Perachov Beis? The Nismecha Misa Sarah la Akedas Yitzchak. The death of Sarah was put in juxtaposition close to, right after, the binding of Isaac. Lefisha al yedei besuras ha'akeda, I'm sure you know this Rashi. There's many interpretations into this Rashi. Because by the new, by hearing the news, through hearing the news of the Akedah, Shenizdamein bena l'shchita, her son was prepared to be shechted. V'kimat shelo nishchat. These are famous words that give a lot of rise to a lot of interpretation. But the pshat basically is, without all the interpretation, she heard that her son was about to be shechted. Parcha nishmasa mimena v'misa. Her soul flew out from her and she died. So why is Misa Sarah put right after the Akedah, Perach of Beis and then Perach of Gimel? Because when Sarah's heard that her son, the Ein B'Yisrael, who never abandons the child even in the moment of pain, when she heard that he was almost, that he was prepared for the binding and he was almost shechted, she died. Her soul flew out from her and she died. I want to thank my son Aryeh again. This he didn't tell me years ago, actually. This he just brought to my attention yesterday. He said, did you ever hear this? I said, no. He saw it referenced online. He sent me a screenshot, actually. It was just one line. But I went to look it up because I happened to have the Sefer. I didn't have, I'll tell you what I did. I started in the beginning of the Sefer. I'm not joking. I sped read every single page till I found what I wanted. Baruch Hashem was halfway through. I was so excited. When I found it, I took a picture. I'm like, Aryeh, I found it. It was late at night. And Baruch Hashem. I'm quoting from the Eish Kodesh. The Piyat, I can never pronounce it. So if you can, good for you. No, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being serious. Let's just call him the Eish Kodesh. P-I-A-C-Z, Piyashazer, Rabbi. Does anyone know how you actually pronounce it? Shchus Hayagan Eleinu Hashem Yinkom Damo. He was a Rabbi in that town. Rav Kolomnis Kamin Shapira. He was most famous for being the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. And you may be familiar with the fact that he delivered and wrote, he ran a clandestine synagogue in the ghetto. And he was mechazek, the downtrodden, hounded, tortured, Rachmana Litzlan Jews. And he wrote drashos, and he delivered drashos to be mechazek the people. He was ultimately killed by the Nazis. He did not survive in 1943. The drashos did survive. I feel bad. I don't know how you pronounce it, but I never know how you pronounce it. So, sorry. So my son brought this to my attention, and I didn't even know if it was going to be in the Sefer. This isn't. It's a Sefer Nehemiah Pollan, which has excerpts of his different drashos. I said it's going to be in here. And Hashem helped me, and it was. Page 96 through 97. You see, it's mamash halfway. That's how far I had to go. What do we make of the death of Sarah in juxtaposition to the Akedas Yitzchak? There are many interpretations. One interpretation which I never understood, and I don't know what the original source is. Maybe you've heard it. On the words, Kimah Shelo Nishchat. One time I heard the following word told over by somebody. I'm not going to say who, what. Doesn't sit so well with me. I could say I don't understand. Kimah Shelo, it wasn't a Rav. It wasn't a Rav in the community. Kimah Shelo Nishchat. So some say she was so happy her son was going to be shechted. When she heard he was almost but was not shechted, then she died. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that at all. I don't know if it actually is a source. The pshat is that she died as a result of hearing about the Akedas Yitzchak. Based on everything we're speaking about today, about the Ein B'Yisrael, that makes much more sense. So thank you to Aryeh. Listen to this. Listen to this pshat of why Sarah died by the Akedas Yitzchak, by hearing about the Akedas Yitzchak. Was it just because she couldn't handle the shock that her husband was about to shecht her son? Or is there a message l'doros? Remember, Kol Mashi the Ramban to Yud Beis Vav in Lachucha. Kol Mashi Yirela Avo Siman Lebanim. Sefer Bereishis is Sefer Simanim. Everything that happened is a. It's not just a story of one person, one family, one child, one mother. It's the prototype for everything we experience through Jewish history and Jewish destiny. It's called Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Yashar, and Sefer HaSimanim. It's our duty. So is this only a mother who died because she could not handle hearing what almost happened to her son? Or is there a deeper message here, a message of the Doros? This is unbelievable. I tell you, it was so late when I found it. I took a picture. I sent it to Arya. I made tear. p.m. I started at the beginning and sped read each page. Baruch Hashem, thank you! Exclamation mark! Wow! Anytime! Exclamation mark! Glad you found it. All right. Listen to this. Another passage delivered on November 22nd, 1939, records the Hasidic tradition. Listen carefully. While a moderate degree of suffering may be of benefit. A moderate degree of suffering in this world may be of benefit to the individual's spiritual development. So a normal amount, not an overdrive. Suffering is to the benefit of the individual. It helps us develop spiritually. But like you all know, once tribulations go into overdrive, chalila v'chas rachmana litzlan, it's very hard to continue to develop spiritually, because the challenges can become so enormous, a person feels like they're drowning. Moderate, I could handle. But seriously, this, and sometimes it happens, a person feels a disconnect from God. We're not judging anything. We may ourselves have been in such situations in our lives. It's very possible everyone in this room has at some point in time felt that. I hope not, but it happens. A moderate degree of suffering may be of benefit to the individual's spiritual development. However, Hasidic tradition teaches that excessive tribulation is beyond endurance and unacceptable. Rabbi Shapira, the Eish Kodesh, the drashos that he wrote under the title of Eish Kodesh, that's how he became known as the Eish Kodesh, the Piyachu Zareba, I don't know how you properly say it, I'm sorry. Rabbi Shapira's point of departure, and you know who uses the term the point of departure? Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. He'll say, we're looking at this pasuk, this verse, this Rashi, this is the point of departure. So what is Rabbi Shapira's point, the Eish Kodesh's point of departure for this thesis, for this theory? Where in the Chumash, where in Torah, where in Torah Shabbal Peh do we see proof that excessive suffering is unacceptable and limits a person's ability to develop further spiritually? Rabbi Shapira's point of departure is the rabbinic statement that Sarah died as a result of the shock she sustained when she learned of the binding of Isaac and her son's near death. And now we come to a quote from the Eish Kodesh, translated into English. One might argue that Sarah's taking the binding of Isaac so much to heart that her soul left her body was a deliberate act taken on behalf of Israel. One might argue, this is after the war had already started, it's 1939, November, but they entered Poland right away, and my grandfather writes it in his memoirs, as soon as the Germans entered, then the decrees began and the killings had already begun before. One might argue that Sarah's taking of the binding of Isaac so much to heart, she took it so to heart that her soul left her body, was a deliberate act, says the Eish Kodesh, on behalf of Israel. It was intended to demonstrate to God that Israel cannot endure an excessive amount of suffering. He proposes that it was a protest by the first Aim B'Yisrael, who will never abandon her children. It was a charge to God. For even if, continuing with the words of the Eish Kodesh, by the grace of God, one remains alive after a period of such suffering, nevertheless, a part of his strength, a part of his mind, and his spirit are broken and lost. Even if a person is physically alive, are they truly alive? what of their strength, their mind, and their spirit after enduring such excessive suffering? As the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, what difference does it make if one is killed outright or beaten halfway to death? So the Gemara is saying that being beaten halfway to death is like being dead. This explains the point of the words, and now he references the pasuk. Okay. These were written. This was written during the, this was stated, this was given over during the most horrific period of suffering our nation has ever endured in the history of mankind. And now he refers us to the first pasuk of the Sedra. Vayu chaye sara mea shana v'esum shana v'sheva shanim shnei chaye sara. Says the Piyatza Zerebbe, the Eish Kodesh. This explains the point of the words. These were the years of Sarah's life. Bereishis 23:1. For it would appear that Sarah sinned by shortening her own lifespan. He is proposing that she shortened her own lifespan as a protest to God. We cannot handle so much pain. We cannot handle mothers having to sacrifice their children. We cannot handle watching as our children are abandoned. It would appear that Sarah sinned by shortening her own lifespan. Had she not taken the binding of Isaac so much to heart, she would have lived longer. But since her action was taken on behalf of Israel, Scripture hints these were the years of Sarah's life. And like Rashi tells us, Kula and Shavin Latova, they were all equally good, including the years that she would have lived after 127. Even, says the Piyatza Zerebbe, the willful sacrifice of those years was no sin. Kulan Shavin Latova means her taking her own life, deducting from added years, was all equal in goodness. There was no sin in what she did. Commentary of Nehemiah Pollan to the teachings of the Eish Kodesh. Sarah's death is then understood as a quasi-suicidal protest to God against excessive suffering. Moreover, the protest is ratified by Scripture because it was taken on behalf of Israel. This drasha gains in poignancy when we realize Rabbi Shapira is most likely alluding to the recent death of his mother, Chana Baracha, on October 20th, 1939, at an advanced age. Chana Baracha survived the bombardment of Warsaw, but the grief of the death of her grandson and other relatives brought about a heart attack to which she succumbed. Rabbi Shapira portrays her death as a conscious protest to God, a demonstration of shock intended to arouse God to put an end to the suffering of his people. I will read the words of the Eish Kodesh again, now that I went through them with commentary to make it easier for us to understand. And I, Bli Nader, will not interrupt. November 22nd, 1939, which would presumably be the Sedra of Chaye Sara, whether the week before or the week after, given the calendar date. One might argue that Sarah's taking the binding of Isaac so much to heart that her soul left her body was a deliberate act taken on behalf of Israel. It was intended to demonstrate to God that Israel cannot endure such excessive amounts of suffering. For even if, by the grace of God, one remains alive after a period of such suffering, nevertheless, a part of his strength, his mind, and his spirit are broken and lost. As the Talmud says in Bava Kamma Samech Amud Aleph, what difference does it make if one is killed outright or beaten halfway to death? This explains the point of the words, these were the years of Sarah's life. Shnei Chaye Sara. For it would appear that Sarah sinned by shortening her own life. Had she not taken the binding of Isaac so much to heart, she would have lived longer. But since her action was taken on behalf of Israel, Scripture hints these were the years of her life, and like Rashi says, Kulan Shavin Latova. The years she lived were for the good, and the years she deducted from her own life were for the good. Even the willful sacrifice was of no sin, because it was on behalf of the aim, B'Yisrael. It was done by the aim, our first foremother, on behalf of her children. I thought this was a very relevant point of departure into current events. This Tuesday, you may or may not have seen, Tamir Avichai, age 50, from Kiryat Netafim. You know what I did? Even though I don't even keep my written notes because everything's on the computer, I actually, when I was preparing, copied and pasted. I printed up their picture, if you didn't see, or you don't know. But their name's underneath. I don't know if you could see. You're welcome to pass around. I need to say one thing. I need to go be Menachem Aval after this, on topic. So I don't have time for questions and comments. Usually I have time to stay if you have questions or comments. I don't want to insult anybody. Please don't approach me after the shir. You are welcome to email me. I do reply. Tamir Avichai, aged 50. Can you see it from here, their pictures, or no? It's too far. Tamir Avichai, age 50, from Kiryat Netafim. Michael Legadin, 36, from Bat Yam. And Mati Ashkenazi, 59, from Yavne, were named as the victims in the Ariel terror attack on Tuesday. Tamir Avichai, 50, was a father of six children, ranging in age 12 to 29. He had five daughters and one son. "Why didn't you say goodbye?" asked his daughter Shachar. "I was your best friend. You never left without saying goodbye. How could they take my best friend? I cannot live without you. Promise you will watch over us from up there," she added. "I will look after my siblings here," she promised. Michael Legadin was a new Ola, recent Ola. They made Aliyah 5 years ago, and some of his family still lives in Russia. He has two children, ages 7 and 12. When I just read it, it's like a number. But if you think, lahavdil, of children you know that are 7 and 12, it has a little bit more meaning. "I am in shock," said his wife. "I cannot believe he is gone." "We embrace Michael's family, who immigrated to Israel 5 years ago for Zionism," said Bat Yam Mayor Tzvika Brot. "We are ready to give his wife and children full support through the education system. Bat Yam is in mourning and hurting over the death of its resident, who was killed by the sons of iniquity in the Ariel attack. We are supporting the family and helping them in difficult hours." The biblical covenantal mother never abandons her child. As soiled as he may be, as dirty as she may get, as many times as he spits up, she never says, "I'm going to throw him under the bushes and be done with him." And the biblical covenantal mother represents the Shechina mother, who never abandons her children, no matter how soiled we become. And the Shechina is willing to go into exile with us, to become dirty with us, for the sake of her children. Contrast that to Hagar and Yishmael. Hagar was told, "In Perek Tazayin, return, and you will be blessed with a son who will be a para adam, a wild ass of a man. Yado bekol v'yad kolbo." She threw her child under the tachas achad achas hasichim, v'tomer al ere b'mot hayalad, v'tisa et kola v'tev. She cried for herself. She cried for her predicament. She was not holding the child of her hand as he was warm and feverish. The aim, the ancient language, the eternal language of Lashon HaKodesh gives us Aleph and then Mem. You could even say, to take this further, the Aleph represents the Achdus of Hashem, and the Mem represents the Shechina Mother. Aim, Aleph, Mem. And from that word, all languages take their mommy, mama, oma for grandmother, mommy, ma, mom. It's not an accident. And from where does the baby gain sustenance and nourishment? From the breast of the mother. Mem is the only letter. And Lashon HaKodesh says, the Rapshitz Rebbe, that's closed, open, and closed. Just like the nursing child. And Hashem is our melech. Look through, pay attention when you daven. Over and over and over. He is the mem lach, or the mem lacha. He represents the aim to you. Mati Ashkenazi, the final victim, father of three and grandfather of two from Yavne, age 59. Mati was a loving person, full of joy for life, an exemplary husband, a family man with a huge soul who loved to help everyone. He loved life. He used every moment to wrap his family in warmth and love. This is a great loss for us, and everyone who knew him. The Yavne municipality stated, "With great sorrow, we were informed today of the death of the city's resident, the late Moti Mordechai Ashkenazi, who was murdered in cold blood by a despicable terrorist in an attack in Ariel, in the Shomron. We share in the family's grief. We stand by them for whatever they need. On behalf of the residents of the city, we are supporting them in their difficult time." The Eish Kodesh proposes that why did Sarah die when she heard of the Akedah? The other pshat doesn't sit well with me. Kimat shelo nishchat, she wanted him to be shechted. He almost wasn't, so she died. It says the Eish Kodesh, and what was only the beginning of 6 years of hell. Sarah's death was a protest. She was the quintessential Ein B'Yisrael. She represents every Jewish mother who will never abandon her child. And she says, Ribono Shel'Olam, if I will never abandon my child, don't you abandon your children. Because how much suffering do you think we can handle? And so in a sense, she shortened, she took her own life. Because moderate suffering, maybe we could deal with. But excessive suffering, it's enough. How interesting that Melach HaMashiach begins with a double mem. And if you look at the word Mashiach, it's mem and then siach, which is this week's parsha. Mem, everything we've spoken about today. Siach is tefillah. With the siach of the mother, mem being the mother, and siach being prayer. With the tefillahs of the Jewish mother, Be'ezrat Hashem, starting from Sarah, all the way down to our door, we should be zocha to the Bias Kol Tzedek. I am not presenting Shir next Thursday, okay? I'm sure the Young Israel Mudmir will send out their programming. I will see you in 2 weeks. Besoros Tovos to all. Thank you, everybody.